Hi, this is Variety Shunavir with the Kashi Media Podcast Live. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. My upcoming topic, Kamala Harris. What's the fate of America with a new potential vice president? Many people right now are saying, not sure. Nah, Kamala who? There's so many different views, so many different feelings on Kamala Harris, especially with black men. A lot of people right now are trying to figure out, is this really the right move for America to have the first black woman and South Asian woman to be in the White House? Many black men are saying right now, no. Why? Because of what she feels about the justice system for black men. A lot of black men have said she wanted to keep us incarcerated. So their vote for her is, no, I'm not voting. Trump, really don't like him either, but her, nah, not when it comes to our lives. They don't trust her. Even South Asians are saying now that they are taking a second look and stepping back. The fate of America, the Biden-Harris election. Democrats, what's in store for America? We need to find out what's really going on. Stay tuned.
We are in a race between education and catastrophe.
The knowledge. way the world's run. The way it's got is to rid the children of prejudice and ignorance. Gotta teach your kids to read and write. That's the only way to win the fight. The fight. Education is the goal. So if you wanna be in the know.
Hi, this is Variety Shanavir for Akashi Media Podcast Live. The segment, Biden, Harris, the fate of America. America, are you ready for them? Democrats. So far, their ad campaign for African-American votes, black votes. Did you see them? Did you see their ads? Well, one ad says, African Americans are not educated enough to vote or to know about voting. They're saying that we protest, but we don't vote. I don't agree with that. That's a stigma. I don't agree with that. African Americans, we know what we want. We know if we want you or don't want you. We control this. We control this. We have the power to vote. We have the power to be billionaire consumers. So, we control a lot of things in America. Now, for example, if Trump, who supposedly is a racist president, who supposedly who doesn't like African Americans, supposedly, he got them to vote for him. Versus Biden, Harris, currently your African-American votes are down in areas that you need votes, such as Michigan. What are you going to do, Biden, Harris? 2016, the election was won. Now, I give it to Trump. He talks a lot of shit. But so far, he got up in there. He wanted to put that wall up. He's not a talker. He's a doer. He did it. He said he was going to get the stimulus checks. He did it. It wasn't a lot, but he did it. He's a man of his word, at least when it comes to that. So, I tell you one thing, African Americans are on the ups, they're not on the down. I myself am an African American, an American, and I also have Indian ancestry as well, like Kamala Harris. I have six ethnicities of African: Cameroon, Ghanaian, Kenyan, Nigerian, Tanzania, Sierra Leone, and what's my other one? Did I say Kenya? Ghanaian? I can't remember the other one right now. But also I'm Eskimo. and Native American, and India Indian as well, and Scandinavian. So, and also I have Rio, Portuguese. So, I just feel that the ads are not going to work with African Americans in America for voting. Biden Harris, you want this. You want this presidency. And if you want to get in the White House in November, you don't put ads out saying that we're not educated to vote for you, because we know what we want. We can do what we want to do. We have the power, not you. It's you who want power, who need to be on the White House. This is Akashi Media, podcast live with Variety Shunavir. Stay tuned for this segment, America's Fate, Biden Harris. I'll be right back. Hi, this is Variety Shunavir for Akashi Media Podcast Live. The segment, Biden, Harris, the fate of America. Are we ready for them? Democrats. So far, voters, particularly, they're saying African-American voters are kind of low on their votes in certain areas. They're trying to get their votes up in areas such as Michigan. Well, according to what I read recently on the internet, they have a new ads out to get African-American voters out to vote for them. They realized the last time they went through this in 2016 with Hillary, the votes were low in areas that Trump won in, such as Michigan. And their ad was saying that, you know, we like to protest, but we don't like to vote. I don't believe that. Black folks know what they want. They know what's best for them. And if they don't vote for you, it's because they don't feel you. The ad said, you know, voters, particularly African Americans, they need to be educated. There you go, right there. Talking about Black folks aren't educated. This is why you don't have a vote. A lot of African Americans of any age in America are very educated. I don't like the campaign ads of people that they have speaking for them. I'm against it. I don't like our people being put down in any fashion at all whatsoever. I am for my people. I am for my people, African Americans, to be on the ups. And if we don't feel you, then you're going to be on the down. We do not have to have anyone running for election, for presidency. If we don't like you, we don't vote for you. That's simple. That's nothing to do with us not being educated. African Americans have been voting ever since they've been able to vote, whether they like you or not, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. That's a stigma on its own. it's a stigma and it's a poor ad to have someone say African Americans need to be educated. See, you have high and mighty always up there trying to be more than what they are. See, you have to understand, we have the power, not you. You're the one who want to be in the White House. You're the one who need the vote. So words are powerful. Just like my words are powerful with my listeners. 50% of my stats of my podcast are being listened by men, 40% by women. I'm happy either way. And I'm also in 30 countries being streamed and heard. I'm happy about that. And also, our stats discovered that Akashi Media even have age groups from 0 to 14 listening. I have a special podcast for my kids next segment. So, you know, I lived in San Francisco, California. And when I was in San Francisco, California, Kamala was there and she was dealing with, I think, the mayor at the time. He was an Asian mayor. I think his last name is Wu, David Wu, I believe his name was. He was from China. He's been the mayor for many years there. And they were supposed to do something about improving the cost of living, something with housing, the homeless. That was in 2016. Well, it's 2020. Things are still the same. There was no improvement. So, I don't know. It's on you, America. It's on you. You know, I was all for it, for the fact that she's a woman. She's African American. She's Indian, like myself, from India. And I was all for that. But then when I realized who she was, I just said, in my opinion, I kind of like step back, you know. When I look at what Biden was with Obama, I like Biden. He seemed like a nice guy. He seemed like he was really doing his part with Obama, you know. That Obamacare really got me, though. I talked to people who had Obamacare, and they told me they didn't like it. They didn't like it. They didn't like being forced to get Obamacare. I spoke with my cousin on the phone about this, and she said, well, they were just told they just needed health care to get health care. And if they didn't get health care, they would be penalized for it. Why penalize the Americans who are employees for not getting health care? How come they didn't penalize the employers? If you're working for an employer, the employer should be giving you health care. Why penalize you for it? I don't agree with that. I don't agree with taking your money from the IRS if you didn't get health care. I'm against that. I don't like that. I think Trump's mindset on that, and when he removed it, it seemed kind of, to me, I don't know. I just think, I don't know. You know, it's both ways where people feel like, well, you know, we had it, but I met people who were social workers and they said I wasn't happy. And they worked at DPSS and they were not happy. They said it's limited and I can't get anything hardly. You know, I couldn't get a nice frame of glasses and so on and so forth. To me, it just seems like that Obamacare was Medi-Cal being paid for when it's already being paid for already through the state. That's what it seemed like to me. And I'm against any health care that's limited. You pay for your own health care, you better have the roof unlimited. That's how I feel. Let me give you an example. I myself have health care. I have United Healthcare. My coverage is paid for through my own company, my own business, Akashi Media. And I have $7 million worth of coverage. That includes also transplants, if needed, helicopter pickups from somewhere else in America or a foreign place. I can be lifted, airlifted. It covers acupuncture. It covers a lot of things. What I do is I take my time to go through healthcare plans and I compare them. I write down my needs and I compare them. I don't have anything wrong with my organs or anything like that. It's just that at that time I saw the movie with Denzel Washington when his son needed a transplant. And he couldn't get it because he didn't have proper health care. So that's what made me, you know, go online and look for health care that had a coverage for that, and United Health did. So I bought it. I still have it. And let me give you an example of how when you pay for your own health care and you take your time to really examine health care and when you need service. This is what happened to me. I went to Cedars-Sinai Hospital, emergency room one day. Oh, it was at night, actually, one night. And it was full. People were in pain. They had been there for hours, you know, crying, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. I'm in pain, you know, so on and so forth. I went there. I went to the counter, gave my card to the receptionist. The receptionist took my card, verified everything. I sat down. They called me within 15 minutes. They said, ma'am, you can come into the next wing. I came into the next wing. They had a bed for me, a remote control, dinner. And they said, a specialist will be down to see you as soon as possible. That's how you treat it when you pay for your own health care and the waiting is short. I had two specialists and dinner, a television, remote control, a bed, in my own section. And there was another man who was being treated the same way, who had his own part of the hospital as well. That's how they treat you when you pay for your own health care. And the amount of coverage is unlimited, or at the best, at the top. It's not fun having to wait to get your tooth pulled, or you may have a venereal disease that's killing you in your organs and you have to wait, or just being pain, period. It's not fun waiting all night to be seen. It's not. As Americans, and it doesn't matter the ethnicity, we should be able to take our time to go online to the internet and look up what we need and pay for it. Unfortunately, America is not set up like other countries, like Austria or France and United Kingdom and other countries where healthcare is paid for through their taxes and they have the best care that they can give their citizens. We're not set up that way. So my advice to America is that just take the time to look at health cares like United Healthcare. My cousin says she likes Aflac. I've never tried them, but I'm still with United Healthcare. I still got $7 million worth of coverage. And that's what I use, you know. Just take the time to go online and look up eye care, such as VSP or iMed, and, you know, both of those plans. I have those too, but, you know, you only pay $25 to get $250 worth of coverage of service, which is will take care of your exam. And for me, I needed it for contact lenses. But I'm sure there are other plans out there that are much better, much higher, that we could utilize, you know. Because really, Obama, he said when he was in the White House, he said, "You're going to be on your own." He did say that. So you have to take that into consideration of really what that means. That means they really want you all to really start thinking like you're self-employed and being on your own and taking care of yourself, because they know behind closed doors, you're going to have to do that. You can't keep depending on the system. You can't really depend on us. And they're not going to tell you that you can't depend on us. Skid Row in California, downtown LA. I can't stand that place. I hate that place down there. The way it looks, it's terrible. You know, you have shelters that get money every year to house people, and they're outside. To me, that's just a scam and a fraud. People that are supposed to be inside your shelter are outside on the streets living. Or they were put out and kicked out. It's disrespectful. It's nasty to have people living downtown LA with urine and feces and rats. It's terrible. No place I've ever been, ever in America, looks like that. And then on top of it, it's Christianity that runs it. That's what God is to them downtown LA. This is God. This is God's place. No, God's place in heaven is clean. Filth cannot live in God's kingdom. It cannot. Anything that's not of cleanliness cannot be in the kingdom of heaven. So, Skid Row, the way it looks, would never be able to be in the kingdom of heaven. I can't stand that place. They just do not care. You sit up there, they preach and everything in the midst of the streets with rats running around and everything. It's just nasty. You know, the mayor doesn't care. The governor doesn't care. The district attorney, someone like Kamala Harris, who has the power to change things at that level, didn't care either, obviously. It's still like that. People got to get their mind right. They got to get their mind right. People got to get back on track with their own lives and their mind and how they think. Because to live like that, you know, I came out to California in 1993. I left Detroit, Michigan, in 1993 to pursue my career in filmmaking, which I did. And Skid Row did not look like that back then. It wasn't even like that during the earthquake in 94. And it just amazes me on how time has changed. I mean, there are people that when I came to California, they were smart. They knew what they wanted. They had goals. Now, I don't know what happened. These people got put into some type of program or something, got on medication, and they're all messed up now. They're all messed up. You know, the mental health business is a big business. It's to steal your mind. All these people are doing with these shelters are, you know, you have mental health, you have this, you have that. They want your mind. People need to find a way out of this. Take some ginseng. That'll help your mind. That's a Chinese herb. You know, versus all this medication people want to give you and people want you to become a lab rat and do testing for different medications and be in a little hospital facilities and things like that. And then, you know, you don't know what the side effects are or anything. It's just terrible on how people are being treated, being used as little pawns. It's crazy. You know, I mean, I don't agree with doing those things to people. I really don't. You know, so I hope America, that when you look at the ads of the Democrats, and when they say, you know, in their ads with people that they're using to speak for them, that you're not educated enough to make a decision, you know what's right for you. Don't let someone tell you you're not educated enough to make a decision on who to vote for. You think I'm uneducated to vote? Guess what? I don't have to vote, and I don't want to vote. If you don't feel them, oh, well, that's how it is. I'm not trying to encourage you not to vote for them. I'm just saying the ad is messed up already. You know, so I saw what they were saying, and I'm against that. I am against that, though, saying that you're not educated or we're not educated enough to vote. People have been voting for years since they could vote. So I would just say that does not apply. And if Trump can get areas like Michigan, that's because people want money. I mean, he hasn't been the best at all, but I mean, the little promises he made and said what he was going to do, he is a doer. I mean, he put that wall up. He did it. He said he was going to give the little stimulus check. He did that too. He is a man of his word in his own way. He is. But if I look at something and it's still undone since 2016, then, well, you're not a woman of your word. That's how I look at it. You know, so education, you know, politicians are always talking about education. What I feel about education is this. We need to merge more with the baccalaureate European system. That system is being used in Los Angeles County, but in the Las Virgenes area of Calabasas. And what that education system is that you're able, once a child graduates from high school, they will receive a high school diploma and a BA degree at the same time. I feel that all schools throughout America should have this system. We should have this system implemented in every school in America, whether we had COVID or not. Every child who goes to school online, homeschooled, because homeschooling is available in California too. It's available for a lot of reasons, whether you're an entertainer, because my daughter was homeschooled as well, and she was in entertainment doing music videos. She only missed school like maybe a day or two. But she had her teacher on set, so she really wasn't missing school. But they have those type of arrangements, you know. And they have those arrangements for girls who get pregnant in high school and they want to stay at home and do homeschooling, turn in their homework at the school and everything, you know. But yes, I feel that we need that European baccalaureate system, because it would be great for many parents in America who may not be able to afford college for their children. And that would kill two birds with one stone. They don't have to worry about college. And if you go into a community college or a university, you know, they may not be prepared to pay any loans back or anything like that. So the best thing they can do is get Pell Grants, you know. But if parents are already having a hard time with dealing with a system like this, as it is right now with COVID and paying rent and the mortgage and changes like that, then there's a possibility you might not go to college, you know, or, you know, have private school. And this is something that we really need right now in America, is the European baccalaureate system. If I was running for president, I would implement that system at every school in America. So a child could have a high school diploma and a BA degree at the same time upon graduation, just like they do out in Las Vegas area in Calabasas, California. Because, you know, a parent would be able to say, hey, you know, you already have a BA degree. You can get a job, because a lot of jobs require you to have a BA degree. You already have that going. And if you want to go to school and get a master's degree, then you can. But at least you have that 4 years done already. They already currently have like the dual enrollment system, where you can go to school and get your AA degree upon completion of high school. You get that when a child goes to a community college and high school at the same time. That's the dual enrollment system. And they currently have that, but the BA degree is even better. You know, and you still go to school. You don't actually have to go to a university. It's just that you have all your classes taken while you're in high school that you would take in a university, and you would complete them. And then upon graduation, when you do all your general that you would need for that, they give you a BA degree. And I think that's just great. That's great to have for students. And I think it was great for parents to also have for their children. And that's at any age. It starts at all levels, from kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade. So, we need a system like that. We need a new system with lunches. School lunches are awful. Oh my God, I have seen so many bad lunches. Try me. Oh, it looks so, oh man. I said, oh my God, kids are eating this. But see, when my daughter was in school, my daughter didn't really eat the lunches. I used to bring her lunch to school or make her lunch for her to take to school. And she told me she didn't like the lunches. So that's why I did her lunch for her, you know. And she loved it. She said, Mom, every day when I have my own lunch, people say, hey, can I have some of your lunch? You know, and she ended up sharing her lunch with everyone. But she usually has enough to share with people anyway. So, you know, she used to have big submarine sandwiches and things like that when she had her lunch, bag of chips and, you know, her own, you know, drinks and everything. So, but yes, I used to make my daughter's lunch for her, or we go buy her lunch and she'll have her own lunch. So she was happy with that, you know, because, man, when you look at these lunches, they're terrible. They're nasty. They are really nasty. The bread and the meat is dry looking, and man, processed food, and man, it's messed up. We need to implement the system of France for lunch. Oh man, I don't know the name of this video that they have with the France lunches to show you the difference in how they eat in America and how they eat in France. Oh my goodness, they eat with, the plates are beautiful. They eat on beautiful plates with beautiful silverware. They eat on china plates, I believe. Oh my God, it's just beautiful. Bon appetit. The food is amazing on what they have in France for lunches. Awesome. They sit down. They have not bibs or anything. Oh my God. It's just set so beautifully, as if you were having dinner. It's just so beautiful. It's so classy. The children are bringing the card in, and they helping out make the table look all beautiful, and they have glasses to drink out of. It's just so beautiful and elegant. We need that system also in America. If you're going to be a president to go around the world, you need to implement these systems. Instead of saying, we can't afford it, we can't afford it, we can't afford it. We need this. We need this. We need this, you know? So, healthcare, school lunches, and to implement the system of the European baccalaureate system is something high on my list. If you're going to be president, either one, Democrat or Republican, should do it. Either party, any party that's running should do this. Any of them. So I won't discriminate on just Democrats. Anyone, either one should have it. Either one. Trump know that life. He should have it. So I just want the best. You know, I just think that people should just have the best of everything. And if you have to get it on your own, then get it on your own. That's all I have to say. Just get it on your own. Take your time going online and trying to find the best healthcare you can and purchase it yourself. I also, as an American, I did have European healthcare because I was traveling quite a bit. And I did get it through like traveling as a student. I found different healthcare for traveling as a student as well. And I had a long time. I had that for a long time. But it was great for me to have because I was able to use it like maybe once, you know, when I was in Germany. And man, I was able to get seen, you know, and it was nice. It was cool and everything. It was helpful to me as a traveler. So you need traveling insurance. I was talking to a couple people yesterday. And, you know, it happened to be, again, my fans that I talked to, that I met last week. And I ran into them again yesterday. And they told me they're just not happy about what's going on with the voting processing and everything, and that they don't feel that they are really feeling either party, and they don't think they're going to vote only because they just don't feel either one. And people shouldn't be made to vote if they just don't agree. They just can't find agreement, you know, and that's hard to do, you know. But we got on the topic of the shooting with police officers and the young black guy. You know, I'm a licensed bodyguard. I had a career as a bodyguard for quite a few years. And the one thing that I know in my training is that we were trained that everything that goes on in video is not what's happening in the video. So we weren't allowed to jump to conclusions and just jump and act and say, oh, that's on video. We were taught to really look at the video and feel what's going on in the video. You had to feel it. And when I saw that video, I didn't feel anything. I was more like, okay, they're sitting there conveniently in front of a camera. A black guy runs up and shoot. Close range. So, okay, no one dies. The reports are the officers are in surgery and no one dies. They're just in surgery. And you know, this weekend, Black Lives Matter is going to be protesting this weekend in California. And this actually took place in California. So I look at it as a setup, convenient, to show, oh, a black guy is shooting at officers versus us shooting at them and being on video. Set up. That's how I look at it. You know why I look at it like that? No one died. Whenever you shoot an officer, whenever an officer shoots a black person, they die. You get up on someone that close range and you're not even shot in the face. Neck, anywhere. So, as far as I'm concerned, you could have had a young cop who was on the force, planned it out, and shot at the vehicle. That's what I think. You know? So, I didn't feel that. And then a gentleman asked, he said, well, she could, you know, she's a mother with children. Oh, yeah, they threw that out there. Well, she's the one who took the job. That's the job she took. I mean, that's the chances you take on being killed on your job. Police officers are still security guards. They only have a post certificate. They're still security guards. Bodyguards, our guard is always up. It's not down. It's up. And when we act to something, we have 2 seconds to do so. So if their guard is down and you don't see someone coming up in the rearview mirror or you don't feel anything or you know where you are, you're incompetent. Windows down. You know, so, yeah, I'm not feeling that. I'm not going to blow that up because in my training, it's too convenient. It's too convenient because you got a black kid shooting at officers, non-black. You got protesting coming this weekend. You know, they didn't die. They're in surgery. White folks kill blacks all the time. They're dead. You know, you didn't die, so it's not a big deal. Part of your job. Chose the job. And he said, so what? You're saying be heartless? No. I'm not saying to be heartless. That's your job. It's no different than being in the military. You chose to be in the military and be on the front line for war. That was your choice. That's your choice. To take a chance on coming back or not coming back. That's simple. You know, that's simple. Same with me as a bodyguard. I can be on the airplane. We have to do what we have to do. In our seconds of whatever we have to do. You know, and that's the choice that I made. And then he said, well, what about leaving your kids behind if something happens? You know, and you get killed or something. Who's going to take care of your kids? I had said, well, I have life insurance. My life insurance policy for my daughter is $7 million. I have a will at that time, you know, when I was a bodyguard. I'm not a bodyguard anymore right now, you know, but I still have my license that I can renew. You know, I haven't renewed it in a minute, but I will renew. It's just good for me to keep and renew it. I'm going to renew my license as a bodyguard, but I still have the training. You never forget the training, though. Training, never forget. But my answer to if something ever happened to me and me having a child, I had life insurance. I had $7 million worth of life insurance for my daughter. She's the only child. And I have a will. And how I want things to be handled with her money and whom I chose for her to be with. That's simple. And because he said, you know, a child shouldn't be without their mother. That's true. But a lot of children are. I grew up without my mother. My mother died when I was 9 years old. And my mother had a will, too. She had a will. She left some money. My father, he left money too, you know, but at the time they didn't have it quite set up where they say what they wanted the money to be, how I wanted it to be distributed or how, you know, who they wanted me to be with. Well, no, my mother made that decision. I take that back. She came into the house and said to my grandmother that, Mom, if anything happens to me, take care of my kids. She did say that. So, I take that back. She did. She was vocal about that. But and my father was more like my parents look after my kids, and my uncle Bert looked after me, my father's brother. And I had my grandparents and my aunties, and I still have my aunties, my father's sisters. And I'm 52 now, and they're still looking after me. I just got a text message from my aunt this morning. Good morning. How are you doing, niece? Every single day, my aunts text me every day, say, I love you every day. They're still taking care of me. And my father's been gone for many years. So they're still looking out for me. I love them. I got to send them money and take care of them, make sure they're all right. So get life insurance. If you don't have life insurance, get life insurance for your children. Just enough to, you know, to get them up on their feet. You know, I was fortunate though, with their question being, you know, asked if I should really advise whether or not women should go into fields like that. Women can do what they want to do, you know, because women want equality. Women want to do the same job that a man can do, and they want to show that they can do a job better than a man can, or just as good as a man. So, I don't know how the pay is, but that's what women stood up for. So, if a woman wants to be a firefighter, go ahead. Want to be president? Go ahead. You know? A police officer? Your choice. Military? Your choice. I didn't go into the military. I was going to go into the military. I was going to go into the Marines until I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. But even after I had her, I said, nah, you know, I'm going to stay at home, be a mom, you know. And I did. I stayed at home with my daughter, raised her. And I decided, nah, something might happen. I don't feel it. I don't think I'll come back. I think we're going to have a war. And we did. My cousin was in the war, the Gulf War. And I'm glad that I wasn't in the Marines, because my daughter was only a small child. And I did not want to be in the military fighting and she not have her mommy no more. So that's the choice I made. And filmmaking was it. Writing scripts, movies, films. I moved on from Detroit in 1993, went to film school, UCLA, 94, shut it off, and Booty Call came out 95, 96. I'm the original creator of Booty Call and Set It Off. Both my films made over $150 million together gross worldwide. So I think I made the right choice, right decision. And as a writer, I took home, like, as a writer completely for what the money that I raised for the film on my own, just raising it as my own, $600,000. That's pretty good. I got $300,000 for each film for my writing. Or raising money for my movie as well. So I took home $600,000 at the beginning of production. So that was close to a mil, you know. So going to great fields, you know, right now, Facebook owner Mark, he's have classes for kids to learn coding, learning how to do coding for apps and things like that. And children, you should take these classes with Facebook with Mark. He has these coding classes, and it'll be good for you because you're the future for coding and doing apps and development, you know. And I just want the kids around the world who listen to my podcast to know you really can do anything you want to do. Just keep learning. What you don't know, go on YouTube. You can. YouTube has a lot of different how to do videos, and you can do your videos that way. You can do tutors online. There's so many things you can do online to learn. You can learn different languages online. Audio You know, right now, the libraries are closed all over the United States right now. So you can't go to the library right now. So right now, it's just best to just learn online and, you know, look up all the information online that you need. There are different apps that you can download for tutors and, you know, for help and things like that. So do it that way. And it's been like that for a while anyway. So now that everyone is out of school and school is not in right now, some states are starting to go back to school, I guess. But for now, you just have to keep learning online. And it's good for you. You know, I know you want to get back out there on the playground and everything and play and everything, but try to help your parents out at the house and, you know, try to help them out and everyone being at home at one time. It may get kind of rough, but, you know, go out and ride your bike or try to do your chores earlier and help them out and, you know, do your bed, you know, make your bed and everything. And just try to be helpful and, you know, do the dishes and everything and pitch in a little bit and put a little teamwork in at the house and everything. Help out with the little baby sisters and little baby brothers and everything when your parents are there and help babysit a little bit if you're a little older to babysit. And if you can cook, you know, help mom and dad cook and everything. And, you know, just pitch in and be a team at home. I know we always talk about having teamwork, but teamwork can also be helpful at the house to you if you're a big brother or a big sister, you know. And my grandson is a great big brother. He's always helping his little sister and little brother all the time, and they love him, and he loves being a big brother. So help out, you know, being an older sibling if you can, okay? You know, it really would be helpful to your parents and everything, and that's what you should do. So that's basically it right now. I really don't have much to say about Kamala Harris and Biden anymore at this point. I just think that everyone should just read what's online, look at their ads, and go on from what you feel and make a decision that way. Because if there's a checklist that you're looking for them to say, and you don't hear it, you don't see it in their speeches, like the reparations, you know, we haven't heard anything else about those reparations being paid out. The reparation bill was passed in California, but because of the Black Lives Matter protesters, but you haven't heard anything else about if it's going to be paid out, how much is going to be paid to us as Americans and so on and so forth of African descendants. And they haven't said anything else. She's not talking about it. She hasn't said anything about it. I've been looking for it online. I haven't seen anything about her talking about it anymore because she was a part of that reparation payment. And I haven't heard anything else I searched it and I haven't seen anything else. So money talks, and you know how Trump is. Money talks. I might have given these people $1,200, but hey, I gave them something. He doesn't care. He gave something. That's how he look at it. I'm telling you right now. And people in America know that $1,200 wasn't enough to do anything. It wasn't enough to, you know, continue to pay the rent or anything like that. But hey, it was useful for some people, you know. And, you know, but the one thing that I do like about the Trump situation here with COVID is that there are a lot of people who are still in their homes. They are not homeless. They do still have their jobs. They do have a lot of fields where people are, you know, still getting paid. Some people do have their unemployment. However, a lot of them are self-employed. But a lot of people are still able to carry themselves. So you do have to have a savings, you know, have a savings or however it is that you make money. A lot of people are already making money online, but restaurants have really picked up a lot of business since the COVID. So it's a pros and cons with the COVID, actually. You know, a lot of businesses have picked up. It picked up a lot of business for Uber and Lyft and Dash for delivering food to people and everything. Amazon has picked up a lot with delivering food and people placing orders through Amazon Fresh. They were able to really pick up a lot of business, even more so. Even me ordered through Amazon Fresh. You know, I ordered my food through Amazon Fresh and had it delivered the same day or the next day. So I like shopping online. I love shopping online. I always shop online because I like deals online, you know, that I get all the time. I do Groupon and all kind of places that I like to shop online. So I like the deals that I get and everything, you know. So I shop on Wish, Amazon, Alibaba, AliExpress, Zara. You know, I have a lot of places that I like to shop online. And I'm also a merchant online as well. So those of you who have a business online as merchants, you know, business can pick up for you as well. And business has always been great for me online. So do the same. You know, start a business online if you can, you know. Buy something you like to sell and do, you know, get the best deal and be the person that have the best deal or whatever, and make new friends and make new customers. That's what I can say, you know, right now for you. Also, as a company owner, being self-employed, an entrepreneur, what you can do, of course, if you don't know this, is that you can start your own company, own your own business, and you can hire yourself as an employee, and through your company, you can pay yourself unemployment. So you can pay yourself unemployment once you pay into the unemployment, but you can pay yourself unemployment. You can choose your own health care through your own company and get yourself the best that way too. So you have some options here. You have some options here. That's what smart Americans do. That's what the smart Americans do, because you're smart. Americans are smart. We don't want someone telling people in their ads, they're not educated enough to know this and that. You're educated. You're educated. You know. Sometimes you just need common sense. And common sense will get you a long way. You better believe that. Okay, well, I'm going to end this segment about Biden-Harris. And I hope I made some great points for you. At the end of the day, the vote is your vote, your decision on who you want in the White House. Biden, Harris, the fate of America. Are you ready for them? Do you want them there? You want Biden again? You want Harris for the first time VP, vice president? It's on you, America, no matter what your ethnicity is. Sounds like to me, more whites are voting than African Americans. That's what it looks like right now. So it's on you, my people. I have people all over the world. I'm 6 ethnicities of African: Cameroon, Nigerian, Ghanaian, Kenyan, Sierra Leone, and Tanzanian. Is what I am, as well as Eskimo, which is Inuit, Native American, and also India Indian. That's what I have in my ethnicity, and also Scandinavian. I'm also Scandinavian. And Portuguese, Brazil, Rio. So that's it, you know. I mean, I love my people all over. I grew up with a diversity of upbringing. I grew up in a household where my family spoke French. My family spoke either British English or Canadian English. You know, they say, pardon me, when they get on the phone. I just listen to their conversation all the time. I used to listen to the words they say. We had a lot of teachers in our family. You know, so that was basically it. Really nice people I grew up with in the family, though, pretty much. I had some snobs. And then there were some people that was kind of mean as well, too. You know, but everybody doesn't have to have, you know, a good attitude all the time. Just some people, it's just how they are, you know. So Take the good with the bad with the good. It's all good. It all still came out great with me anyway, you know. I just feel that it's on you, America. It's on you. This vote is on you. You go on what you feel. Don't be pressured. Don't rush. A lot of people are taking their time, stepping back. And they're not going to believe the hype. They're listening. They're paying attention. I know I am. You know, I can feel when things are set up. I feel that the shooting in Compton with the cops was a setup for a media. That's how I feel. It's too convenient. Black Lives Matter would be here this weekend to protest in California. And the shooting with the cops, like I said, they didn't die. That's your job, to be shot at. Sorry. I'm not going to have that little softy heart going on right now because that's their job. They should have been paying attention. You're in Compton. You know where you are. So then you conveniently parked in front of the camera. And I could tell by the angle of the vehicle that they were conveniently parked in front of the camera. Could have been it could have been another officer without a uniform on that did it. You know, so they lived, so that's what matters. They go home and the kids. You know, so that's it. You know, I'm not going to play into that because I know what media is trying to do. It's trying to make it look like, oh, look at this black kid running up shooting a cop, you know, a cop killer. Nah, we're not gonna do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to poison the media like that. Not on my podcast. I'm not going to poison the media like that. I know people say, oh, you're so cold. No, I'm not cold because it's like I said, I've been a bodyguard. We're taught how to look at videos very well and really feel what's going on. And even if it was at a bank and he came in there at the bank with a gun at the teller, aiming at the teller, doesn't mean that the teller wasn't involved. We take our time to analyze things. We don't jump to conclusions. I'm not a cop. I don't act like a cop. A cop jumps. Oh, my God, I shot him because he looked like he had a gun. He looked like he was pulling on me. No, I don't act like that. I'm not trained that way. That's not how I'm trained. I'm not scared. My field as a bodyguard, we have no fear. We're fearless. So I don't get giddy like that and jumpy like that. Oh, my God, he looked like he had something. He had a banana in his pocket, and I thought it was a gun, and he took his life. No, I don't do that. That's not my training. We think and we react when we need to. And as a bodyguard, our field is what we tell the police goes. We have seniority over the police. So what we report sticks. It stays. So, and that's it. You know, as a bodyguard, you know, we have the upper hand over police officers. And my training is on the level of Secret Service. So if I want to work for Secret Service, I can. That's the kind of training I have. You know, if I want to work for the CIA, I can. This kind of training I have, you know, fearless. And I was born fearless anyway. I'm a Sagittarius, born with a bow and arrow. So, Jupiter sign, fire sign, you know, that's me. But that's it, America. That's my view. And you have your own views and your own vote. You make the decision, it's on you. And if the Democrats don't think you're educated enough to make your vote, then hey, you show them who's boss. You show them who's in control. You want to win, you make them speak highly of you. Respect you, America voters. Respect you, especially our African-American voters. You make the Democrats respect you. And if they feel you're not educated enough in their ads, then you know what to do. hands down. Take care. Thank you for listening to Akashi Media Podcast Live with Variety Chenevere.